you may well know, and I'm not going to go into his history, but it's a reference Bible and a commentary Bible, so it has comments. And it has this. It was talking about in chapter 1 of Romans about salvation, and he wrote this in the notes. The Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. It is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering to itself all the redemptive acts and processes as justification, redemption, grace, propitiation, imputation, forgiveness, sanctification, and glorification. That's a pretty inclusive word there. That's a pretty broad definition of the word salvation. You notice healing was in there. And a while ago, when Dr. B was giving out what is described in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, is in the gifts of the Spirit, is word of knowledge and word of wisdom and the gifts of healings. All of these were functioning. I went to, there were a lot of people I've known over the years that function in this kind of gift. If you're not familiar with it, if you haven't seen anything like that before, we allow for the gifts of the Spirit to flow here. I happen to know of a church that says in their doctrine that they do believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but they do not allow them to be used in the church service. And I thought, whoa, I think I'd have more respect for them if they didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit than that, personally, you know, but we allow that. We just get out of the way of the Holy Spirit and let things happen. And, you know, we're human beings, and we may be functioning through human abilities, you know. I mean, as far as we use our mouths, we use what we're doing, listening from God and hearing from God and speaking from God. And I remember many, many years ago, talk about full gospel businessmen, we had Fred Lawrence come and share. He was in charge of, he was the president of the Northeast and Full Gospel Businessmen. And he functioned in the gifts of the Spirit, and he was functioning that day. And there was a very prominent person, society-wise, well-known person in our church, had been coming to our church for a few weeks and a couple of months. And what Fred Lawrence did was very similar to Dr. B. And this, for some reason, offended him, and he did not come back to the church, this guy. While at the same time, some of you might remember Cal and Carol Haney. And Carol has gone on to be with the Lord some years ago. But Carol was kind of they were new in as much as they were especially new to the whole idea of the gifts of the Spirit. And Fred Lawrence called out a healing for migraines. And he said, there's somebody with a migraine that has migraine. And Carol Haney had, according to her, migraines nearly every single day. I mean, it was like she just struggled with most of her life until that day, and she never had them again. You can say, well, maybe that's psychological. I say that because they used to say that to Catherine Kuhlman, who had a healing ministry, and she says, well, it's funny, they didn't get healed by the doctors psychologically. You know, but if they're getting healed, I'm just glad. I rejoice. And I didn't, this person that didn't come to church again was a friend of mine, and I was sad that he did not come back. But I'll take that healing for Carol Haney at the risk of somebody being offended and leaving any day of the week. I don't want to someone to be offended and leave, but to think that that gal suffered all her life with migraines and then it was over, that's pretty important, isn't it? So Catherine Kuhlman would call out healings. Now, there was things that she would do, and I went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting myself. I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, 7,000, between 7,000 and 8,000 people in attendance at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California, near Los Angeles. And it was just one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my whole life. And she would take, she called out healings, and then I've said this before, she had ushers that would go up and down the aisles that would have been given instructions on how to spot the person that God was touching. And the reason for that is, so oftentimes when we're out there and somebody, when he calls out, you know, it must not be me. Well, my wife taught me a name for a disease you don't know, can't pronounce, or you don't know what it is. You call it the hobby gudas, you know. And somebody might have the hobby gudas that they're probably 1 in 10 million people have. And they would have that name. And Catherine Kuhlman would call it out and point out to a certain section that God is healing you of that particular disease. And that person would think, well, must not, it can't be me that it's happening to. Is that amazing? You know, it's like, and the ushers would be given direction on how to be sensitive to the discerning of the spirits. And then they would ask somebody just out of the blue and say, ma'am or mister, do you have such and such disease? Is there something attacking? Well, yes. Well, this is for you. This is talking about you. And they're like, me? Well, I don't think there's anybody else in this whole place that has this, you know. And of course, there were some general things too, but there was some very specific things. And they would get up and they would go forward, and then she would lay hands on them. Maybe that's what we need to do, Dr. B, is if God is touching you in this area, that you're calling out these, come on up and let us pray for you. You know, and because it's that action that has part of receiving it. See, it's that action, putting action to the word. Hello? And so, she had two kinds of testimony. People that would be coming up, and I saw people that getting up out of wheelchairs, and if they were acting, if this was phony, I'm telling you, they had hundreds of them doing it. And it was something, not only was it, and I'm a skeptic, okay? I'm kind of a skeptic when it comes to a lot of things. I want to kind of see, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, you know? I want to prove it. And I saw this one gal. They had like a wheelchair section where they had, oh, I would say maybe 50 wheelchair people seated in a certain section. And I saw this one gal, and my attention was drawn to her. So not only would they have to put on a show, they'd have to be like doing some mind thing on me, which is like I'm in the nosebleeder seats, you know. But I saw this gal sitting down there about this big, in a wheelchair, and my attention was drawn to her because Catherine Kuhlman was calling out somebody over there, and I was drawn to her pretty much the whole time. You know, I was praying for people with a lot of other people that were praying, and then an usher came over to her, and he bent down to talk to her and said, God's healing you. To act on this, get up. And she couldn't get up. And so he pushed her over, and I saw him They didn't go straight up. They went around the where the stage was, and they started pushing up the ramp and got her to a certain point, and he started to help her up, and she started to get up, and she got up, and she pushed her wheelchair onto the stage. All right, and I'm watching this whole thing, and that she was just one of hundreds that were receiving healings. I'm telling you something, you know, we need to open ourselves up to see God move. Hello? Let Him move. Let Him move. Let Him. So if you, anyway, back to this thing, there was two testimonies. She would have people that would come up and say, I couldn't hear it, but now I hear, or I couldn't do this, and now I can walk now, and that would be an instant testimony. But when it came to giving a testimony before that, before she was doing this, if it was somebody that said that they had received, they had to bring records of x-rays, doctor reports, showing that they had such and such a disease. And then they had to bring records showing that they didn't have it anymore. She would not take testimonies where the person came up and gave a testimony. You understand the difference between the two? She wouldn't do it. She didn't let somebody say, I got healed, if they didn't, you know? Now, if the day that they received it, yes, this, and this. But and everybody went down. Nobody. As a matter of fact, when she prayed for people, the power of God came on them, and they went down like that, and the ushers would catch them. And sometimes there would be dominoes, like there would be two or three ushers that would be catching them, and they'd go down like dominoes. Bam, 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 bam. The usher would go down too. And then the next one would go down, the next one would go down. There's a power was so much on her. As a matter of fact, it's one of those things I was a little skeptical about. But there was one time when she says, "You don't think this is the power of God?" And there's this like 300 plus choir behind her, and she says, "You don't think this is?" And these choir members are made up of every denomination you can ever imagine, okay? This isn't her church choir. And she turns around, there's 300 behind her, and she says, "You don't think this, the power of God is here?" And she goes like this, and she goes, whew, like this. And they went down, all 300 of them hit the ground. Okay, well, praise the Lord. We have a children's church and nursery. If you've been touched, don't miss out. Be bold. Be bold. You know, oftentimes when Jesus prayed for people, you know what he would say to them? Will you be healed? Will you be healed? Now, it's not a matter of them willing to be healed. It's a matter of them, will you receive? Will you let me touch your life? Amen. Hallelujah. Did I forget anything as far as the announcements were concerned? All right. I was talking to you about the names of Jesus. And I have something else I want to share about that. And then be ready, okay, Ben, to put up Isaiah 53. I want you to pray for me. As far as my back is concerned, my back has been giving me problems, especially if I have to stand for any length of time. And I want you to, would you continue to hold that up? I was in so much pain. Have you ever been in so much pain that your eyes roll up into your brain and kind of like look at your brain from the inside of your head, you know, and you just feel like they're just going to keep right on going until you go out? Anybody ever feel like that? Well, thank you, Sam. I felt was feeling that way. Cody came up to me and says, I had a dream that you were in a lot of pain last night. And I says, well, that's true. He says, I got something to share if you need me. And I says, well, maybe I will. Cody, I'm feeling pretty good right now. So hold that. But, I think maybe you offering to do that for me touched me with the Lord. And it may not make sense to you. You may think that, well, maybe Cody's got something to share. But just that love and that concern and that offer to do that touched me. And I have something special, very special. Now, I read that about salvation. We have noticed that another reason that there's so many songs about the name, and maybe it's because I've been talking about the name of God, I don't know, the names of God, that they pick songs, but it seems like every song, I'm going to talk to you about some names in a way that you maybe haven't heard before. And we've talking about names, the name of God and the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the very first sermon that was ever preached to after the resurrection of Jesus Christ was by Peter. And he starts off the message by quoting from Joel, prophecy from Joel, messianic prophecy. And he ends the prophecy that he quotes, ends up by, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember what we read a while ago about salvation? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no other name in heaven or earth by which man can be saved. Hello? One of my absolute favorite posters. I don't know if you've ever seen this. We had it in our house. But one of my favorite posters is it's this great big beautiful black poster, and right in the middle of it, it has two words, I am. And then above, in the top half of it, it has all the things in the Old Testament that says, I am. Like when Moses was before the Lord and he says, whom shall I say sent me? And Moses says, or God says to Moses, tell him, I am sent you. I am. And then, like I said, that's right in the middle. And then it has all the names of God above it. And then it has all the names of Jesus below it. And guess what? Same names. Because in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not, or the darkness couldn't extinguish it, is the literal translation. All right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. And then it goes on to say who that light was, and that was Jesus Christ. So I am in the middle, all the names of God. I've been reading the names of Christ in the New Testament. And I'm going to continue on this, but not today. Because there's 7 pages of the names of Jesus in the New Testament. We talked about how, Peter's preached from Joel and says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul, when he was sharing the salvation message in Romans 10, he says, if you will believe in your heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess him to be your Lord, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, confession is made unto salvation. And then it goes on. Next verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Same thing that Peter preached about. Whosoever shall call upon the name of... How do you call upon the name of the Lord? Last week we was talking about Psalm 8, where it says, O Lord... verse 2 says, Have you never, or out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. I started to say, have you never read, but that's what Jesus said when he quotes from it in Matthew 21:16. But he says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, I have ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And this is talking about God's people. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength. Jesus quotes that Matthew 21:16, says, thou hast perfected praise. And he says, to still the enemy. Who's the enemy? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against the devil. All right? He is the enemy. You want to, in all of his power, you know, there's this this time that he's released on the earth. It talks about in Revelation where it says this dragon opens up his mouth, and out from his mouth comes three frogs, you know, to plague the earth. Well, that's the devil's warfare is the same as ours. Spiritual warfare, it comes out of his mouth, only they're lies. It's the devil's lies. If you want to defeat the devil in your life, you shut his mouth. And do you know how to shut his mouth? Perfected praise is ordained strength. But you know what it says, though, in the first verse? It tells you what kind of praise. And it says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies. See, praising the name of God. Well, it's not just, you know, going around praising the name. We do like to praise the name of the Lord, by the way. We did a lot of it today, right? Amen? That's really wonderful. Pray, you know, we sing, praise the name of Jesus, you know. We love to praise the name of the Lord. But you know what it's all about in praising the name of the Lord? It's in a relationship. It's having a relationship with God and honoring God with the words of your mouth and the praise of your heart, with the praise of your mouth. And it's that relationship with his name, because his name in that relationship, it was what brings it a reality in your life. You see, when you are praising the name, you are exercising that relationship that you have with God. And when you exercise all the things that God has, his name means, becomes true in your life. One of the names of God in the Old Testament is what? Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure, it's as far as King James is concerned, it's the only place in the Bible where they actually give the name of God. All right? The Jehovah name. You know what Jehovah is? His proper name. All right? You know, God would be a common name. But there are many gods. But there's only one Jehovah God. Or we might say Yahweh. Yahweh would be the Hebrew way of saying it. Yahweh. And the only place in the Bible that it actually says, and when you use another name with Jehovah, it's a compound name. And like, for example, Jehovah Jireh means, whenever you see the word, if you look in, I imagine it's the same way in the other translations, but if you look in the King James translation in the Old Testament, if you see the word God in the Old Testament, it would be Elohim or El, or one of the L's, E-L's, you see. That's a common name. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 8, you and I, are, God says that you and I have been made a little lower. Well, let's do it. Psalm 8. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avengers. When I consider the works of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, it says. And you know what the angels is? Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. There it is. You see the word angels? Do you know what the word there is for angels? Elohim, which is a word for God. It says, thou hast made him a little lower than God. Right? Now, that's a common name. That's not necessarily the God, okay? But it's a common name for God. But a proper name for God would be Jehovah or Yahweh. Whenever you look in the writings of the Old Testament and you see the word, well, it doesn't have this, but if you see the word God, G-O-D, it's talking about his name in a common way, Elohim, okay, or El, or one of the L's, okay? But if you see the word L-O-R-D, capital letters, now that is not using the word Elohim from the Hebrews. It's using the word Yahweh, which is his proper name. It's like man, Don. You see the difference? All right? So you see all capital letters. So there's only one place in the Bible where it actually says the word Jehovah. And it's one of the compound names, and it's Jehovah Jireh. And it's when Abraham was sent up to offer up Isaac, you see? And, you know, Isaac says, well, we have fire, we have an altar here, we have the knife for the sacrifice, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham was going to offer up his son, remember? And God stops him, and then he provides the ram, and it says, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. And it was the ram in the thicket. And it, from that point on, he says, this place shall be named, and he names it out, right out, spell, Jehovah Jireh. See, it doesn't say L-O-R-D, it says Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. He is the provider. God is your provider. You know, the Psalm 34 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that know their God, and that the righteousness of God will not suffer any lack. You say, well, boy, sometimes it seems like there's some lacking going on around my house. Well, yeah, I think maybe we've all gone through that, if not going through it right now. But I'll tell you what, hold on to the name of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The name of, okay, well, I'm going to, oh boy. Well, I hope it's good because I'm going over. All right, here we go. I've got a list of names that in the Old Testament that I'm going to show you something very quickly. We're going to go over these very quickly. These are the names of God. El, it means strong one. Elohim, strong, faithful one. El Roy, the God who sees. El Elyon, the strongest strong one. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. El Olam, the everlasting God. Now, that's just a few of the names of using compound names of God, using God, the common name. Now we get into his proper name, and there's a lot of compound names of Jehovah. The Jehovah, or Yahweh, means Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. All right? Then there's Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means the Lord, our healer. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner. There are places where he's referred to both, but it was Moses that was given the revelation that Lord was the Lord, their healer, and we're going to see some more about that in a minute. The Lord, our healer, and the Lord, our banner. And then there is Jehovah Ra, or Jehovah Rohi, as you might use it. It is, the Lord is our shepherd. And who was it that gave us, that God gave the revelation that God was our shepherd? King David. King David. Then there's Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the Lord of hosts. You know, one of the names, three names of Jesus is the Lord, Jesus, Christ. The Lord being Kyrios, which means, in the Old Testament would be Adonai. And it would mean master, boss. Mentor, discipler, you know. Jesus means Savior, Yahshua in the Old Testament, or Joshua. And then Christ means, in the Old Testament, would be Messiah, which means anointed without measure by the Holy Spirit. And so What does it mean when he says he's the Lord of hosts? Well, Jesus was the Christ. He was not only, he's the Lord, he's Jesus, and he's the Christ. And the Christ means he has the Spirit without measure. It not only means that he willing to save you, he is quite able to do it. Nothing can stop him from doing it because he has the power, all the power of the Holy Ghost to do whatever he, to save you. Hello? All right. Well, the Lord our of hosts means he's got all the heavenly angels. Remember, he could have called down 72,000 angels on the day of his crucifixion if he wanted to, but he didn't. But maybe he might for you. Hello? Oh, God. Trust in him. Call upon the name of the Lord. You're the Lord of hosts. You're the Christ, the anointed one. Jehovah Tsidkenu. I don't know. I'm pronouncing it the way that it's spelled here. I know there's got to be a Hebrew way to pronounce it a lot better, a lot more differently. The Lord our righteous. This was a revelation, this compound name. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, was given to Jeremiah. And so just remember that. Jehovah Shalom, or Salom. You hear Hebrews greet one another. Shalom, or Salom. Salem actually means shalom, or means peace. The Lord our peace. And the Lord of peace was a revelation that was given to Gideon. It says, Jehovah Shema. Which is mean, oh, and I love this one. It actually means literally the Lord is there. And what that means is the Lord is present. He's here, there, and everywhere, you know. He is right here on the spot. He's not, you know, it's like Elijah said to the prophets of Baal when they were calling on the prophets of Baal and they were cutting themselves and there was like 490 of them and they were like screaming out and Elijah began to mock them and says, why don't you cry a little louder? Maybe your God's hard of healing, hard of hearing. You know, maybe he's asleep. Maybe you need to wake him up. Maybe he's on a journey someplace. You know, and what he was saying is, my God isn't asleep. He never sleeps, never slumbers. He's not on a journey. He is watching over us every second. All the many I'd say billions of seconds. You know how much 1 billion seconds is, by the way? How many of you know what a billion seconds is? All right, a billion minutes, excuse me. A billion minutes. 1 billion minutes. How many of you think you're a billion minutes old or older? Oh, well, you know, nobody's falling for this one, are you? If you were a billion minutes old, you'd be 32 years old. That's a lot. Right? Yeah, think of all those 32 years. Let's see, I'm 66. That means I'm over 2 billion minutes old. All right? That, I have to admit, out of those 2 billion minutes, a lot of them weren't spent thinking about God. A lot of them were spent thinking about something else. Do you know something? Out of those 2 billion minutes, I was all God was thinking about. And you too. He never takes his mind off of you. He never takes his heart off of you. He's always watching over you every second. He's not away. He's not asleep. He's not hard of hearing. Hello? It's like when Chambach used to preach. How many of you listen to R.W. Chambach? I love Chambach. But he gets flamboyant sometimes, and he just starts saying, you know, one of the things is he used to say, shout, yeah, somebody, you know. And somebody says, God isn't deaf. And he says, well, that's true, but he isn't nervous either. Shout, yeah, somebody. God isn't deaf, and he isn't nervous either. Hello. The Jehovah Jireh, Lord our provider, that was given to Abraham, the revelation. And Jehovah Makedesh is also a name that was given to Moses as a revelation of God. Then there's Adonai and Huah. Huah is the reason we take up the change offering every week, is we want you to be more conformed to the image of God, because it means the changeless one. So we relieve you of your chains, so you'll be the changeless one along with God. No, actually, there's some things about God that God applies to God. It doesn't apply to any of us, and one of them is the changeless one. He doesn't change. And I remember Bob Mumford used to say that God used to say to him, Brother Bob. He wouldn't talk to him, I guess, Brother Bob, but you know, this is Jesus, Brother Bob. We have a problem. And he says, well, what is it, Lord? And he says, you and me are not alike. And he says, well, and he says, we got another problem. And he says, what's that? And the Lord says, I don't change. Guess who's going to have to do the changing here? Hello? Glory to God. All right. And then there's Shalom. Well, let's move on. Put up Isaiah 53. We're going to zip through this very quickly, starting with the first verse. Who hath believed our report? Have you believed the report? We used to sing it. How's that go? What? Said. Yeah, whose report do we believe? Didn't we even have prophecies today about believing the report of the Lord? You know, whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the devil? You're going to believe the Lord? If you have trouble with it, shut the devil up. Praise the name of Jesus. Hello. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is this arm of the Lord revealed? You know, this whole psalm is a messianic psalm. I often wonder how that if Jews did... I love my Jewish friends, okay? But I often wondered if they just skip over this chapter, because I don't know how you could read it and not know that it's talking about Jesus. I just don't know how you could do it. No, I couldn't do it. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is talking about Jesus. And it not only was referring to him, he was just a man like the rest of us. He didn't look any, you know, we see pictures of Jesus and he's just this, you know, we get actors that play the part and they're really, really great looking. He looked just like the rest of us because that's what he did. He became a man like the rest of us. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This is when he was crucified. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And by the way, the word for sorrow is the same Hebrew word for sickness. All right? It says, he carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. All right, let's see. Sorrows. He carried our sicknesses. Later on, it's going to say, by his stripes we are healed. Who in the Old Testament name was the Lord, our, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer, okay? What I'm showing here is that all the names of God that I just shared a while ago are fulfilled in Christ. Somebody shout, yeah, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Surely born our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Next verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement even for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. There he is, Jehovah Rapha. He's also talking about he is our sacrifice in all of these verses. And as our sacrifice, he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Because isn't that what happened with Abraham? Is God provided the sacrifice in place of Isaac. And he has also, it was a demonstration of how God has supplied a substitute in our place. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was Jehovah Jireh. And we like sheep have gone astray. And have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who would this be? Jehovah? Who is it? Nobody remembers. All right, I have to look just to be sure. Yep, Jehovah Ra. All right, who is Jehovah Ra? the Lord our shepherd. And here it is, referring to Jesus. We were like sheep gone astray, but he was our shepherd. He saved us. Next verse. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment. And who shall declare this generation, his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make the soul of an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in the land. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He is the Lord that sanctifies us. The Lord Makadosh, Jehovah Makadosh. Justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore or bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Is that it? Huh? What? Therefore, while I... Is that the last verse? Well, no, we won't go to the next verse then. All right. The Lord is our shepherd. He is our provider. He is our He's the one who sanctifies us. He is our righteousness, justification. The Lord, our justification. He was everything. Jesus was everything that God was, because he is God. He's God the Son. Hello? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And notice when it goes on, it says he's going to be there. He's everywhere. Hello? He's there all the time. Jesus is on you're on his heart every second. All the time. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You know, let's take this Lord our provider, and we'll let Harry come up and minister communion to us. We have the privilege. By the way, I just want to say this. Somebody actually didn't stop coming to church because we took communion every week. And Jesus says, as often as you do this, you remember me, you know? And in the beginning, the church broke bread every day, you know? And when somebody says, how can you take communion every Sunday? Honestly, I want to look at them and say, how can you not? How can you not do it? So, praise God. I'm just like, it's great to break bread together. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jesus, it says, I told you this one time, that whenever I in my checkbook, whenever I have a deposit to make, I write out, God loves me in the notes, or Jesus loves me, or God is love, or Philippians 4:19, one of those. But whenever I write out Philippians 4:19, I always says, and my God shall meet all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall meet all your need. I suggest you try that. Don't just make it a habit and just do it. No, every time I write it out, I think about my God meets all my need. Not according to my own ability, not according to society, not according to the government, not according to anything else. My God. Now, all of those things may be used, all right? But it is God that meets my need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or write in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Hello? Start to confess that, Jehovah Jireh. Don't just say the words, confess it. Jehovah Jireh. Say the same thing God says. God says he's your provider. Hello? Jehovah Jireh. Write that in there. Think about it. Meditate on it. You know, Keith Copeland used to had a very rough time in the beginning, and because he had bills piling up on him and piling up. He said he would spend days walking back and forth, praying and confessing. My God meets all my need according to his riches and glory. My God meets. You know, by the way, before I forget, if you read that in Philippians 4:19, you know what he's saying to the church at Philippi? Because of their giving. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I remember when I was a teen challenge, I used to say, God, I don't have anything to give. I say, could you give me something so I could give it? So I'd have something to give? And I prayed that way for a couple of weeks. And, you know, Eddie used to take up an offering just to give us an opportunity to give. But we didn't have any money. But we used to give. And I tithe. And I says, well, I'd like to tithe, Lord, but I kind of need something to tithe from, with. And so I'm working at a booth in a fair about Teen Challenge. And this person came up and says, here, this is for you. And handed me a dollar. And I thought to myself, a dollar? Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? The first thing I did is I got to get change. So I can put a dime in the offering plate when it comes by. And I was so proud. Not prideful, but I was happy, boasting in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You gave me something that I could give off of. And so I put that dime in there. You know? God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. That's what you do when you tithe. You're proclaiming that he meets your needs. You certainly aren't doing the smart thing. It isn't the smart thing to tithe. I think it's a smart thing because it says in Malachi, if you don't, you're robbing God. I don't want to rob him. You know, you give to the poor. It says you lend to God. I'd rather lend to God than rob him. Hello? I don't hear any shout, yes, somebody this time, you know. Went from good preaching to meddling, I guess. If you're a tither and you're a giver, then you can say, Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Jehovah, you know, it was when Abraham was willing to do what God wanted him to do that provision came through. Hello? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. God meets all my needs. Say that. God meets all my needs according to his riches and glory. What were we talking about? He's not only wants to meet your needs, he's able. He's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. God will meet your needs according to his riches and glory. You know, when Abraham helped save Lot's life because they had been taken captive, after he actually helped the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah get because they had been taken captive. And when they got through, there was a whole lot of things left over that they had. He said, so they wanted to divide it with him. He says, no thanks. I don't want that because when I am blessed beyond measure, I just want to say God did it for me, not you. Hello? And it's a good thing, too, because Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't exactly the most righteous place to be getting gifts from. Hello? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Cody. You really gave me inspiration, by the way. I want to appreciate that. And I really touched my heart and touched my back, too. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for today. And, Lord, help Harry warm up for the baptism. Lord, keep him warm. And those people that are going down in that ice cold water, Lord, oh Lord, help them. I'm glad I'm not doing it, Lord. No, thank you very much for helping us, and Lord, bless everybody. Bless us with your word. Thank you, Lord, for your name. Your name is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.